What does it mean to be a Christian? That is, what are the marks of Christian life, of discipleship, of Christian living? Today's Holy Gospel gives us three essential and necessary marks of the Christian life. The Christian lives a life of prayer first. That is to say, the Christian hears God's word of promise, his word given by Jesus, and trusts in it. Jesus says, "Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full." Ask, and you will receive. This is an emphatic promise, a promise that you can take to the bank, a promise that whatever you ask, you will receive. So then also our prayers don't just rely on Christ's promise, but also follow his instruction. His instruction is that our prayers be wide. That is, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give to you. Whatever you ask, not because you deserve it, not because you know always what to pray for, but to pray, trusting in his promise, knowing that he will answer both small and great. But do not forget this last part of prayer. The life of prayer includes praying in Jesus' name. In his name. But why in the name of Jesus? Why not just pray directly to the Father? Jesus tells us, we have no access to the Father apart from him. That Jesus himself is the one who takes our prayers and offers them up before the Father, the throne of grace. It's one of the glorious benefits of our Lord's ascension into heaven is that he does sit at the Father's right hand, speaking your prayers to the Father on your behalf. That is also to say, the Father has no duty to hear your prayers apart from his Son. It is precisely because of Jesus that you are found acceptable, that your prayers are found acceptable to God, and that he hears them. And not only that, but Jesus himself commands you to pray in his name because when you ask in his name, his Spirit itself groans within you with pleas too deep for words. The Spirit intercedes, speaks to the Son, and the Son offers this to the Father. He carries every prayer made in faith in his name to the Father. And so the Christian has a life of prayer. This is not something that is unessential or unnecessary, but it is something that Jesus has not only commanded, but that he has given to you as a great gift, as a promise, that whatever you ask, wide and deep, undeserved as it may be, whatever you ask, you can trust that he will hear and receive and offer before the Father in the way that is best for you. Our prayers are joined to Jesus' prayers. Jesus, the one who sits at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you day and night. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But so also his prayers are joined to ours. Our prayer is, Father, forgive us, for we know not what we do. So knowing that Christ has made this great promise, that he will hear us, ask and you will receive, that we can ask whatever is necessary for this body and life, and that he has promised to hear in his name, that his Spirit himself would speak within us and give us the prayer, we can live this life of prayer, not fearing we might not do it quite right, we might not know how to pray as the way we should. No, simply ask whatever is necessary in Jesus' name to the Father, and he will hear and answer. A life of bold and confident prayer to the Father is an essential mark of the Christian life. But it's more than that, too. We learn from today's gospel that the life of the Christian is a life of sonship. That the Father answering our prayer relies upon us being in the Son, being co-heirs with Him. It rests entirely upon Jesus. Jesus reveals the Father to us, for we would not know to pray to the Father apart from His Son, Jesus. And in Jesus we are made sons of God, co-heirs with Him, children of the Heavenly Father, and thus can pray to the Father directly through Him. This isn't just some kind of figurative description from Jesus, that we are in Him and He in us, and that we have access to the Father through Him. It's not a metaphor, it's not a parable. It is an actual relationship. You are blood relatives with Jesus, for you were born in His blood, and you receive His blood. You are flesh and blood with Him. You are sons of God in Christ. That is why the Father answers your prayers. That is why the Father gives to you any good gift, because you are in Christ. And He loves His Son, and He loves you. Indeed, He loved you even before His Son gave His life for you. That is why the writer to the Hebrews, likely St. Paul, says that Jesus Himself was crucified from the foundation of the world. That is to say, Jesus gave His life for you even before your mother knew you. From the foundation of the world, God loved you and promised His Son to Adam and Eve, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to all the patriarchs, to all the people, and finally delivered Him unto you through the Virgin Mary. But it was Christ's sacrifice, His crucifixion, that grants you access to the Father, that makes you His fellow heir. Our sonship is through Jesus and through His shed blood. And because we are sons with Jesus, of God, of the Father, as any good father does, hears our prayers, listens to us. And so, is it essential for a Christian to not only have the life of prayer, but to live a life in baptism, in the sonship of the Father, in Jesus, to trust in that baptism, in Christ, what Christ did for you, that He made full atonement for your sins, that no matter what you have done, both good or bad, it has been atoned for. It's no longer sinful, marred by that fallen state, but acceptable to God. Indeed, loved by God, found good in Jesus. That's why the forgiveness of sins is so important to the Christian. Indeed, it is the central work of Christ. It is what gives our life meaning. It is what gives our church a purpose. To hear once again that Jesus has died for us and forgiven us, a daily life of prayer and sonship. And what does this give to the Christian but something that can be found by no other means? That is a life of peace. An essential mark in the life of the Christian, a way that a Christian is distinguished from all others in this world, is that they are at peace with God. As it said in the hymn, "Peace with God once more is made." That's in Jesus. We have confidence in our prayer, asking as dear children ask their dear Father. We have confidence because we are children of the Heavenly Father. And these things give us a grounding for our whole life, and indeed a freedom to live as God's children, a freedom to hear His word, to worship Him rightly, and to pray for whatever we need. It's a confidence. That's a boldness. And by this we have peace. Peace is only found resting in God's promises, resting in His promise of mercy that is given to you in faith. That is to say, true peace, peace for your heart, peace in this church, peace for the world, cannot come by anything but by God himself. God works peace in us. Peace does not depend on you. For if peace came from you, you would be a lot like those disciples who heard of what Jesus was about to do there in the upper room on Maundy Thursday, going on to Good Friday, and would find that their faith was lacking. They probably were seeking peace in their faith. But as we know, none of us trust in God as we ought. Even our faith is marred by our sinful condition. But it doesn't depend on your faith. It depends on God and what he has done for you. The inner life of peace comes from hearing his word, receiving his promises in your ears, in your mouth. That's an inner kind of peace, peace that the world cannot give, a peace that enables you to pray, a peace that comes from your prayers, a peace that comes from Jesus, a peace that is in sonship, living as God's children. It is this life of prayer, this life of the baptized, that truly enables you to live at peace in this fallen world. For we live in a world that rejects God the Father, for it rejects God the Son and his Spirit. We learn this quite vividly this week, where our civil leaders have repeatedly confessed something that is contrary to God's own word, all the while at the outside, other side of the mouth saying that this is a Christian thing. If we reject one word of Christ, we have rejected the whole Christ. But we shouldn't be surprised. This is life in this world. For if not from our civil leaders, from our own family members, who would deny Christ, maybe in part, but in part is the same as in full, or from our neighbors who would blaspheme Christ in name by not hearing his word regularly, by hating each other, by murdering those whom are in their midst. That's what it's like in the world. And it's hard to find peace there. It's hard to find peace knowing that tomorrow we may be forced by our government to recognize things that are abhorrent to God. It's hard to find peace when we are daily being overcome by our temptations. When there are hindrances to our hearing of God's word, of praying the way we ought. When we have difficulties in this life, anxieties about what tomorrow might bring, irritations with each other, with spouse, and afflictions to our body. It's hard to find peace in those things. But there is peace in the promise that Christ hears our prayer and intercedes for us before the Father, that we are co-heirs with him and have a great promise of eternal life, resurrection of the body, all in the forgiveness of sins. While the world may reject the Father and the Son and his word, we can rest at peace, the peace of Christ, the peace we receive here in his church, come through his promise and all by his victory at the cross. Why does God command this sort of life, a life of prayer, of living in his Son, but to be a benefit to us? Indeed, it is not mere command, but it is gift. Something to be received joyfully with a clean heart, made clean in the forgiveness of sins, and thereby find peace and strengthening for your faith, as weak as it may be. This is most evident in his Holy Supper, the Lord's Supper, where we most vividly join with Christ in his body, commune with him, live with him, pray with him, and are at peace with him. There we remember everything he has done for us, his death on the cross, his resurrection for our justification, his ascension to the Father to intercede for us, his coming again in judgment, and taking us again in the resurrection of the body. Do we know that the Lord will hear our pleas for mercy? Absolutely. For he has. We receive it in the supper. As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes, Paul says. We proclaim the Lord has died for us and will come again to take us to heaven. And that's where our peace lies. He loved us and gave us his Son, and we have access to the Father as dear children have access to their Father. We are sons with Christ by his death. That is to say, Christ has taken away everything that keeps us from speaking to the Father in true and good prayer. We are sons. We can ask our dear Father, for we are forgiven, and by this we receive peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.